Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We are getting the breaking news this morning. Let's look ahead at the rest of the week.
Our government.
Bailout.
Your government.
Energy resources.
Healthcare.
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Global financial recession.
The work that needs to be done.
It's time for our agenda segment. It's a look at the stories that'll be making news this week. Tuesday, gay rights advocates will get an answer on Proposition 8. That was the California ballot initiative that made gay marriage illegal. We might have a Supreme Court nominee by the end of the week for I. And Thursday also, we're going to have Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas visiting the White House. But helping us go through all of this, we're going to go to our own Washington correspondent, the Takeaway's Todd Zwillick. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Catherine. Good
All
morning.
Right. Let's start with Proposition 8. It's back in court this week. What exactly are we expecting from a ruling in California tomorrow?
We got to recap very quickly on this case. It was back. It was back in May of 2008, about a year ago, that the California Supreme Court ruled that you can't prohibit gay marriage under the Constitution. Now, California turned around. Opponents of gay marriage turned around, had a ballot initiative. Everyone's familiar with the fact that there are lots and lots and lots of ballot initiatives in California. California is very fond of making rules and laws. In this case, ruling on constitutional amendments with ballot initiative. Proposition 8 was the ballot initiative saying in California, marriage is between a man and a woman. It passed. Now, the gay rights advocates immediately sued, and in the intervening time, 18,000 couples, gay couples, have gotten married in California. So what's at stake in the immediate term is the legal legitimacy of those marriages. There are other ancillary issues at stake in California's law, whether or not really the crux of the legal question in this case is whether the majority by vote can take away the rights of a minority, regardless of what that minority is. Can you use ballot initiatives?
I was just going to say, this is actually almost a ruling on the future of ballot initiatives in California, right?
It is. It is. And the one really interesting part of that is we all heard a lot after the vote on Proposition 8 that minority groups, especially African Americans, had overwhelmingly voted for Proposition 8, i.e. against gay marriage. Now, the gay marriage activists dispute that. But anyway, that was what a lot of the exit polling said. But in this case, a lot of groups like the NAACP, like Hispanic groups and other African American groups filed briefs on behalf of the gay rights activists, because the legal crux of this is whether or not ballot initiatives can overturn efforts that are designed to help minorities, or if you look at it another way, can the majority take a vote to take away rights of a minority? Of course, they're concerned about that, so they're back on the side.
Okay,
they're
Todd,
back on the side.
Let's
with the,
keep
with the
zooming
gay rights
along
groups.
This agenda quickly. Are we going to have a Supreme Court nominee by the end of the week?
That's what everybody says. Dick Durbin, who's the Senate majority assistant whip, well, he's the whip, went on television, said he's been told by the White House that they'll have one this week. He hasn't been told when. He's a close confidant of Barack Obama, and he's on the Judiciary Committee, so he's probably got decent information.
All right, speed round. Quick, what's at stake for GM this week?
Oh, GM is facing a deadline pretty soon. GM is trying to get its bondholders to take a hit on about $27 billion of stake that they have in the company. So far, the bondholders, Catherine, are balking. If the bondholders continue to balk, it's bankruptcy for GM, it's restructuring, and then a whole nother round of figuring out what GM is going to be in the future. They're not expecting any success with the bondholders, by the way.
All right, we've got a revolving door of foreign leaders going in and out of the White House. I think it was King Abdullah of Jordan has come through. There was the trilateral meeting with Afghanistan and Pakistan. Last week, of course, Netanyahu from Israel. And this week,
Mahmoud Abbas, president of the Palestinian Authority and leader of the Fatah faction in the West Bank, coming to visit the president. Watch for the president to make a very strong, unequivocal statement in favor of the so-called two-state solution. What that means is support for a Palestinian state. The backstory of this is that Abbas's mandate expires in a couple of months, and no one has scheduled new elections in Palestine. The Palestinian Authority government is weak. Neither Hamas nor the Palestinian Authority have scheduled new elections, and they might be facing a constitutional crisis there. So the president is going to give some legitimacy and some real support to Abbas this week. Of course, all of this culminates June 4th, which is in a little over a week. President travels to Cairo, to Egypt, to give a big speech on Mideast policy. A lot of people are expecting him to lay out the United States plan for a peace settlement between the Palestinians and Israelis. White House is trying to play that down at this point.
Todd, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Todd Zwillick, he is our man in Washington, takeaway Washington correspondent. You know what he left out, though, Farai?
What?
Prince Harry's visiting the United States this week.
Yeah, maybe he's not on the gossip train like us.
Yeah, I know I'm going to see you at that polo match.